You're listening to the Crypto Report exclusively on the Daily Stormer.
Some experts claim to be a Bigfoot scream. It is regarded as the highest quality audio of the creature ever captured.
Doll that is being called racist is pulled off a store shelf in New Jersey. Customers say they were outraged after seeing a black rag doll called the Feel Better doll being sold at the $1 zone in Bayonne. It came with a label and instructions saying to slam the doll into a wall whenever things don't go well.
It's made of black cloth and called the Feel Better doll, with instructions that read in part, grab it firmly by the legs and find a wall to slam the doll. And as you whack the Feel Good doll, do not forget to yell, I feel good. Customers Pix11 spoke with expressing shock and disbelief.
I don't even know who came up with that. It's just ridiculous, though, that they would even sell that, though, out there.
Parents say the dolls send the wrong message.
Telling the people to beat it to feel better, like... That's just, especially what's going on in the world today, you know, the heightened racism and stuff like that. That's the last thing we need.
Assemblywoman Angela McKnight visited the store and spoke with the general manager, who promptly removed the dolls, which also came in two other colors.
The store in Bayonne did pull the dolls from their shelves as soon as Assemblywoman Angela McKnight brought it to their attention. She says the dolls are offensive by their very nature, encouraging people to abuse a black person.
Welcome to the Crypto Report. Oh yeah, we are back again, bigger than life and twice as ugly. Welcome back to the Crypto Report, everybody. This is episode 81. We've got the full wrecking crew here. We've got the Hate Farmer.
Feels good, man. Feels good.
It feels very good. Extremely good. And we've got the White Tuber.
It feels really good, sir. I've been throwing my Feel Good doll all day.
You've been beating it against the wall?
Senselessly.
It's like, oh, I feel good. I feel good, nigger.
I've been lynching mine in the tree in the backyard and swinging on its legs.
Yeah. What's next? Is this dollar store in Bayonne or wherever it is, are they going to start selling embalmed corpses of old Negroes for people to tie up in chains and lash with a bullwhip? To make themselves feel better?
A Hasidic Jew that you masturbate to death?
Yeah.
I mean, those all fit the price range.
Yeah. Or a crowd of Jews with multifunctional shower head.
Yeah, you know how they used to have those mini kitchens and the play sets for kids?
Yeah.
You could just have like a shower room in a gas chamber.
Yeah. Well, you know the little piece that we just listened to, it said that the doll came in three colors, and I was wondering what the other two colors were. Did it come like in blackest berry, which is the one we just heard about? Because, I mean, it's black. I saw it. That one would be called, that shade would be blackest berry. And then they got one slightly not so black called Red Bone. and then you've got the High Yella. Oh, me, oh, my. People are so, well, people. I'm doing the quote fingers. People are so sensitive nowadays. But yeah, I mean, this is exactly this is the type of serious issue that you want your assemblywoman to get involved in. It's like, whoop, what? I'm going to go down to that dead dollar store and I'm gonna talk to that dang dune monkey down there. Find out what's going on with these here dolls. You buy one of these dolls, you beat that doll against the wall, and you one step away from wholesale murdering little black chillens.
Reminds me of that. What is, it was a Gucci sweater or something like that that had lips on it.
Was it a sweater or was it, I think it was shoes or something, wasn't it? I don't know. They were, whatever it was black and it had red lips on it. And they were like, oh, Lord. Well, I mean.
Oh, there were shoes and there was like a shawl or a sweater or something. Oh, okay. Like yeah, there was Katy Perry's shoes.
Katy Perry shoes.
Yeah, White Tuber, I think you need to ease forward into your mic a little bit.
Oh, yeah, it's turned. How's that?
That's better. Okay.
Yeah, get up all in that bitch.
Yeah.
No, I think Katy Perry's shoes have me going, boy. I forgot about those.
Yeah, I think you might need to get a little further up into it. Maybe turn it up a notch or two. Anyway.
There we go. I turned it up.
There you go. We want everybody to hear the White Tuber.
Wait a minute, guys.
Turn that shit up to 14, man.
Yeah.
Look up shackle shoes.
So, well, wouldn't you just take 10 and make 10 louder? Well, these go to 11. But anyway, those Katy Perry shoes. I mean, what was she thinking? But the thing that about this though, if society had been this crazy forever, like would the Rolling Stones have ever gotten away with their logo?
Right.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, those.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Adidas has shoes that have literal chains on them.
Oh,
that's
no.
Uh
oh.
Wait a minute.
The chains make you run faster.
The legit chains with shackles that go around your ankles.
What they need is like shoes with a little spring-loaded whip on the heel, and like every step they run, it whacks them real good. That'll make them run really fast.
Yeah, I really the
Harriet,
the 40
Harriet Tubman shoes.
The Tubmans.
Oh yeah, the
Tubmans. I'm get them tubs, nigga.
Yeah. I guess we might as well get right into that.
Right? Bringing Tubman back.
They've got a new science fiction movie coming out. or
alternate reality.
Yeah, let me find the link here. I think it's
satirical.
It's a Harriet Tubman movie. It started before I was ready. Harriet Tubman movie, and as we all know, everything they say about Harriet Tubman is absolutely real and 100% historically accurate. So, and it's a damn shame that she didn't replace Jackson on the $20 bill.
Not yet. Technical reasons.
Well, this movie will probably make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check. Now, it's a long trailer, so I don't know if we're going to play the whole thing or if we're going to stop and critique or if we're just going to laugh over the whole fucker. But here we go. Harriet is the name of this movie.
There's not much time. You got to be miles away from here before dawn.
Where is she?
Follow that North Star. If there are no stars, just follow the river. Listen for them. Fear is your enemy.
Whoa. Easy now.
I'm gonna be free or die.
And you notice in all these slave movies, escape slave movies or slave revenge movies, like the one Jamie Foxx was in, Django.
Oh, Django. That was pretty hilarious. Yeah.
The bad white guy, he's always a blonde-headed dude with the effeminate Buster Brown haircut and a top hat. Always. So here we go.
I don't know if you know how extraordinary this is, but You have made it 100 miles to freedom all by yourself. Would you like to pick a new name to mark your freedom?
Parrot Dummy. You are welcome here anytime. If I'm free, my family should be too. I made up my mind. I'm going back.
The Underground Railroad.
Composed. When trouble comes.
You got to hold that musket sideways, nigga.
Yeah. and grab your crotch.
You ain't more. Yeah.
I think Harriet Tubman was transgender.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're trying to go for in this.
I come to get you. Bring all of you to freedom.
Now, here they are. Do you know what would happen? Running through the woods, having guerrilla warfare with these evil whiteys.
I made it this far on my own. So don't you tell me.
Motherfucker!
She's strong, black woman. Strong. Yeah.
Harriet, I mean, they did a good job finding an actress ugly enough, though.
I mean, yeah. You know, what this boils down to from what I'm looking is, why are they glorifying a thief? She's stealing the people's rightful property.
Lawfully purchased.
Everybody, everywhere is looking for you.
God don't mean people to own people.
Now wait a second. Did she just say God don't mean for people to own people?
Jesus said that you That's should be true. A good slave.
Well, I mean, like in the Old Testament, there's like so many laws about how you treat your slaves and specific things like, you know, if you have a slave, and he's of your own race, meaning an Israelite. After 7 years, you got to let him go unless he wants to stay with you. And if he stays with you, you pierce his ear with an awl and you put this thing in it. It's kind of like the tag on cattle, you know, that they put in their ear. Mm-hmm. And then he's your slave for life. But I mean, there's all these rules about
it. I thought there was some tradition about nailing their ear to the transom or something like that, the door frame, and then pulling it out. I don't know, man.
But it's a bunch of stuff is what I'm saying. There's nowhere the Bible talks about slavery a lot of places, and in no place that I know of, and it's probably somebody in the Spurg chat will correct me on this, but in no place that I'm aware of does it say, your father in heaven says you shall not own slaves. I don't see that in there. I mean, and I'm not
To be honest with you, the religion would never have spread and gotten as big as it was if it didn't have such a tolerance for slavery.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is why it was allowed in the Roman Empire, so it's kind of ridiculous.
Right. You know? But like, the thing is, and I'm not even arguing for slavery. I'm philosophically against it for a lot of reasons. Like, for one thing, I certainly don't think that my own people should be slaves anywhere. And even though I side with the South, obviously, in the Civil War and all that, I am against the idea of the black slave trade because it only benefited a select few at the expense of all the normal whites in the South. And then look how it turned out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it ended up with us having shit like this Harriet Tubman movie.
You got all this...
I would give every last drop of blood in my veins... This monster called slavery.
Dance, Negro.
Ready?
Be free or die trying.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they're going to war with them. They're going to war with them Confederate crackers.
Those Confederates never fought anyone before. They don't know how to handle these blacks with muskets, man.
Yeah.
Right? These real niggas.
You know, we live in such a racist society that, like, you know, we have these movies glorifying Negroes that you know, deprived white property owners of their property. And, you know, we got all these historic white characters that are being turned into Negroes. And, you know, it's terrible what's happening.
Yeah, this film is not very helpful at all.
No, I mean, I'm sure in some way it actually helps... legitimize white racism. This movie is just that racist.
Well, yeah, but it absolutely helps legitimize this black grievance shit. I mean, mm-hmm. They're all so mad. They act like we personally enslaved them, and they just got set free the other day.
Right.
You know.
Everybody's dead. Everyone's grandmother's fucking dead. All of them.
But slavery is the best thing that ever happened to any black that could have happened. If the blacks now had a time machine and had some sense, and they had the opportunity to go back to Africa and save their ancestors from getting on the slave ships and coming over here, they would go over there and push them on. Because
true though, it's true.
Absolutely, it's true. The most prosperous, the most comfortable, the most well cared for, the blacks in the world are American blacks. I mean, they are the most pampered bunch of little children anywhere on earth. It's like we have to bend over backwards and change everything for the whims of blacks. I mean, just look at the first story we talked about. Somebody has this doll, and you know, it's they say it's black. Well, I mean, it's pitch black, and obviously there were two other colors as well that you could choose from. But it's like, oh my God, they got a black doll that you're supposed to beat against the wall when you be stressed out. That's bad. That's bad. I don't like that. And the assemblywoman and shit comes out there and makes them quit selling it. And it becomes a story all over the media. Like, oh my God, these blacks. Poor blacks. You know, we've had a choice between so many things or taking care of our black population. And 100% of the, you know, in the last 50, 60 years, and 100% of the time we have chosen the black population. You know, we could fund our space program, or we could take care of the black population. We chose the black population. We could do super innovative medical research and have things like cigarettes that cure cancer and ice cream that makes you lose weight. And instead, we chose to feed Negroes.
It's amazing the decline that we've experienced since the World War One. That was really sort of the beginning of the end. I mean, I'm probably way off, but I think like something like 80% of the Earth's land mass was in one way or another controlled by white people. Or Europeans.
Yeah.
And, you know, they called it the Golden Age, or, and Mark Twain called it the Gilded Age, but whatever. You know, it was an unprecedented amount of control and kind of like social capital that we had. It wasn't perfect, but, you know, the world literally belonged to us.
Yeah.
And everything that allowed our enemies, our racial enemies, to overpower us belonged to us exclusively.
Well, I mean, we gave it away. Basically, I mean, it was through deceit. It was all done through deceit. I mean, things like, you know, people want to. It's one of the unfair criticisms of boomers, really. Now, of course, boomers should have done something about it once it became obvious, and it wasn't really even the boomers that were voting for this. It was mostly, you know, your greatest generation and lost generation that were voting age and voting for the politicians at the time. But, like, the Hart-Celler Act, you know, the one that changed immigration to where basically white people couldn't immigrate here in big numbers anymore, and it threw open immigration to the third world and the third world only. That they bamboozled everybody with that, you know. Here, let me go find some of Ted Kennedy's quotes about this. I know, unless it's been taken off the internet, I know where to find some.
Yeah, they promised. It's not going to change the makeup of the country one bit.
Yeah. They've got a Ted Kennedy impersonator who.
Wait, that's a thing?
Well, I mean, he's dead, and they didn't record. There was no recording of it, apparently. Let me try to go.
Does he go.
Man, has V-Dare's channel been taken down? Oh, there
it is. Does he do reenactments of drowning that woman that he slept with?
I don't know. This is the only thing I've ever... I mean, he's not the greatest. He just does a Kennedy-esque accent. Okay, this is from Kennedy's... This is called Ted Kennedy's Promises, floor speech on the Immigration Act of 1965.
Under the proposed bill, the present level of immigration remains substantially the same. Secondly, the ethnic mix of this country will not be upset. Contrary to the charges in some quarters, the bill will not inundate America with immigrants from any one country or area, or from the most populated and deprived nations of Africa and Asia. In the final analysis, the ethnic pattern of immigration under the proposed measure is not expected to change as sharply as the critics seem to think. It will not cause American workers to lose their jobs. Our cities will not be flooded with 1 million immigrants annually. The ethnic mix of this country will not be upset. It will not cause American workers to lose their jobs. The bill will not inundate America with immigrants.
Yeah, neat, huh?
It's almost like he knew exactly what this bill would cause.
Well, apparently there were people who did, and they were trying to speak out about it. But, see, they were. This is 65, so they were using all the political cachet that any Kennedy had, and the only one who was in government at the time was Ted. He was a senator. He was a newly minted senator. And, you know, because JFK had his brain scattered out on a blue Lincoln Continental about a year and a half, 2 years before this happened. And Robert Kennedy was, I believe, no longer attorney general. That one of the best things that LBJ did, he didn't do very many good things, but he, you know, he got rid of RFK as senator. But anyway, I'm not a senator, as a attorney general. So they got...
Press F for Sirhan Sirhan.
Yeah. But anyhow, yeah, that happened in 68. But anyway, so they trot Ted Kennedy out, and, you know, America was still in shock over the JFK assassination, and the Kennedy name had all this glitter and dazzle to it and everything, and they got him up there saying this stuff, and of course the press was completely behind him and them and the plan and everything, because we know what the press is, you know. It's another group of Jews, and
at that time, like, fucking out and out Marxists.
Oh yeah, and well, they and they are again if they ever stopped being, you know. I mean, but anyhow, you know, it is unsettling that things were already so bad that someone who is just lying through their teeth like that could go on to have what, another nearly 50 years in the Senate, or 40 years, whatever it was. He died a few years ago, and he was still a senator when he died. And he went all that time in the Senate, and he was never brought up on any kind of ethics charge, never any impeachment hearings or anything, when the evidence just kept rolling in and kept rolling in and kept rolling in that he had lied through his teeth in a way that was treasonous. And the reason that it didn't was because the people in both parties were bought and paid for by the interests that wanted this to happen.
Well, they had the thing going on where, like, this is not going to change the ethnic composition of the country. It's not going to change anything, but by the way, you deserve it. So by that time, and like in later on in his career, he was probably a hero for it. I mean, they weren't going to criticize him for lying. They were going to praise him for manipulating America into doing the right thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and this is one of the things that before he announced for president, remember Biden saying America is going to be a majority non-white, and that's a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find a little audio of that. I mean, the fact that he can say things like that, and it does. No, see, I put in Biden, America, majority non-white, and I can't get a result for it because, like,
wonder why?
Well, the YouTube's algorithm has got everything so fucked up.
They just want America to be just one big giant third world labor pool.
Oh, by the way, thank God we're leaving YouTube. I tested out DLive a little bit yesterday, and boy, does it sound good. I ran some music through it and talked, and the great thing is, you know, everybody was wondering whether there are notifications or not. Well, there sure are, aren't there, WyattTuber?
Yeah, I got it on my phone. You have to get the app. It's real easy to get.
It was like 10 o'clock Saturday morning, and I thought, well, you know, I've downloaded this OBS, and I'm going through the instructions. Maybe I'll just start a little stream and see if, you know, see how it works. And I didn't figure anybody had noticed. And then the next thing you know, it's like 35, 40 people are popping on there going, hey, are you doing a stream? And I was like, no, I'm testing it out. Can you hear me? You know? And there are a couple of bugs I need to work out, but it's not bugs with the software or anything. It's bugs with me figuring it out. But we're going to get it figured out. But like... Go ahead.
Oh, I just found the Biden quote. I mean, I know you're looking for
a soundbite. Put it in the thing.
But he said...
Put it in the thing.
It's not a soundbite. It's just what he actually said.
Yeah, go ahead, read it.
2015. Yeah. This is... he said this in 2015. By 2017, those of us of European stock will be an absolute minority in the United States. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because it means the U.S. is expanding the diversity of its people. And I guess he said that at a conference in Morocco.
This may be it, let me see. He appears to be in Morocco.
That could just be D.C., you know.
Yeah, it could be.
Or Baltimore and Detroit.
Extremism that a military...
no, I guess this isn't going to be it. Anyway, it's as many... They must have taken down or... You know, somehow delisted every clip of this stuff, because I used to could put in the exact search terms that I had, and like 20, 30 of the top results would be Joe Biden saying that shit. And I even know what the thumbnails would look like, and it's just not in there. Oh, here we go. Here we go. You ready? Here we go.
Not only are Muslim communities, but African communities, Asian communities, Hispanic communities, and the wave still continues. It's not going to stop, nor should we want it to stop. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I think we can be most proud of. So there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, we'll be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America, from then and on, will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
Neato.
So, the source of our strength. So, we weren't strong before. We didn't become the greatest fucking country in the history of the world. Through diversity, like,
well, we're so much stronger now than we were in 1964.
Right? I mean,
we're so much stronger. We're so much stronger now than we were in 1980, when we were still basically 90% white. And let me tell you, I think I was just going into high school then, and I'm telling you, this was a lot stronger, a lot better country. I mean, a lot of the PAWS had already started working its way through the country. But the difference between the society we had then and the society that we have now is just absolutely night and day. You know, there were a lot of dangers for your children and teenagers and stuff out there that hadn't necessarily been there in decades past. But you still basically had a white society where things worked, you know. I mean, things actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have this constant... I mean, the media was always trying to push it, but you didn't have this constant just every day. It was, you know, more racial grievance, more how bad we are. And you didn't have anybody calling anybody Nazis because they disagreed with them. I mean, it's the... For anybody who's 30 years old or less, that's got to be one of the hardest things to believe, is that you could actually have political discourse and talk about things that people may not agree with you about, and they didn't immediately compare you to Hitler.
Yeah, you had well-intentioned, like, normies. Normies didn't want race mixing because they thought it would be difficult for the mulattoes or whatever, the mixed-race people, yeah, to be able to integrate into proper society.
Oh, well, it turns out they were right.
Mm. Turns out they were allowed to be realistic.
Right. Yeah. It turns out it's so bad that the rate of mental and emotional problems is drastically higher for mixed-race people than it is for people of one race, regardless of what that race is.
Yeah, I think a lot of the innovations too, I'm kind of ambivalent about the internet, but like perhaps cell phones and stuff like that. I mean, that's one of the most pernicious and damaging sort of technological innovation that we've had.
All that is being.
Sorry, I didn't mean to start that. Go ahead.
Our ability to form proper relationships with each other, our ability to literally navigate the world around us, like you had to know your neighborhood to be able to read a map.
Mecca, yes.
You know,
yeah.
Not having, I mean, it's like inflation, you know. We have access to all this information, and now people are less literate. Their social skills are poorer. Their ability to form and keep relationships is worse through social media and stuff like that. I mean,
well, I'm not sure how much of that I blame on social media. I'm sure some of it has a lot to do with that, or on the internet. But the thing is, this has been a trend that's been going on for a long time that was actually starting with my generation. And it's because, you know, my generation was Generation X was the first generation that had full school integration forced on us, and everything was dumbed down at the schools, and it just got worse year after year after year after year because you had to dumb things. The thing about the public school system was before race was injected into it, you had programs that were geared to the highest denominator, and then, you know, you had the mass part of the school that was or the school curriculum that was geared to the standard, the median common denominator, where, you know, you're trying to get everybody as educated as possible, but you're trying to force them all to do the very best they can, learn the very most they can. And, you know, students came out of school very educated. But by the time that the diversity started working its way through the system, everything immediately got geared to the lowest common denominator, because, like, the federal government was earmarking educational funds to things like how many of your blacks are graduating, you know, and things like that. And, you know, you had all this other stuff too. You'd have this crap, like, you know, we talked about, I don't remember it, I'm not going to go look it up, yes, but there was some retired NFL footballer who was being sued for something. It may have been a divorce or whatever. And his lawyer tried to get a mistrial, saying, "Your Honor, my client is completely illiterate, and so he can't read this stuff. He can't read this stuff and assist in his defense." And the judge looked straight at the footballer and said, "So how did you graduate with a Bachelor of Science degree from Auburn University if you can't read?" And he said, "Well, I didn't ever have to go to no class." You know, it's the whole thing is so.
No, that's true.
And you know, the
was Frank, it, was the it Frank, Dexter Manley?
It may have been, but you know, the Frankfurt School idea, the Horkheimer thing of the march through the institutions, absolutely happened too, and for the longest, they have not been teaching children how to think at all. And ever since they started that, you started having this phenomenon that if you go and read the educational literature, it's a real thing where, like, you know, they've been worried since the 70s about this phenomenon that was big then and has gotten bigger ever since, that, like, you know, there's so many of the very brightest students, the ones who test highest on the aptitude tests and the intelligence tests and everything, are completely disengaged from the classroom and end up dropping out of school. And it's because they're not worried about teaching you anything about thinking. They're not worried about teaching you objective history and you know, things that you need to know in the real world. They're teaching you how to be a receptacle of propaganda. And right. It has got, you know, and the propaganda when I was a kid was like, I mean, dude, in social studies, it was like half the time was spent trying to explain to us all how blacks and other races were absolutely no different from us. Anybody with two eyes, especially being in a school like I was where you had so many of them, you know that's bullshit. You know, they're like, well, they're violent and stupid and unpredictable and have a bad body odor and look like gorillas because slavery and Jim Crow. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, this black kid who attacked you and tried to cut you up and you know, put you in the hospital and everything. It's really your fault because of Jim Crow and slavery. Oh, my bad. You know?
Yeah, they can't teach you proper, like, reading, writing, and arithmetic because they have to spend all their time convincing you that this completely obvious thing that everyone can see with their own eyes is not actually so.
Well, not only that, so many of your reading, writing, and arithmetic teachers are blacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've talked about it before. My eighth grade English and reading teacher was this old black woman. This was like, she was 60-something, and this was like 1980. So this was an old black mammy born in the 1920s, right? And she's supposed to be teaching us how to read and write and conjugate our sentences and shit. And she couldn't even spell words like penguin. She would misspell words on the blackboard. That the word penguin, she misspelled it and misspoke it. And when I corrected her, I got sent to the office.
Penguin.
And the principal told me, don't be doing it anymore.
In her defense, penguin is a pretty difficult word to spell.
You know? Well, it's pengum is what she said, and she spelled it P-E-N-G-U-M. You think penguin's hard to spell?
There's a lot of words, man. It's hard to memorize them all.
Well,
numbers, too, man. There's fucking a lot of numbers.
Yeah. Well, you'd think it wouldn't be so hard to spell when you're holding the book open and writing down the sentence from the book. That was the thing, is we had a book, and the class that day was on, you know, chopping your sentences up into their, you know, here go the subject, and that motherfucker over there be the predicate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so.
You know, they never even taught that shit to me in school.
Really?
We had spelling and vocab, but they did not have anything about how to construct a sentence. And I realized that, it occurred to me that it had never been taught to me when I took foreign language classes, and then that's important. Oh my God,
same thing here, dude. I was in college, and he's trying to explain these concepts, and then I'm like, I don't understand. He's like, you should have learned this in high school. This is basic grammar, and embarrassed me. I'm like, but dude, we never were taught this.
I bet they didn't even teach you guys things like the be verbs and what they were and what the difference between you guys. So, if I told you guys to list off the be verbs, you couldn't do it, right?
I don't even know what that means.
The be verb, is that like an audio thing? Like
no.
Reverb?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No.
It's software. The be verbs are be, am, is, are, was, were, been, and being.
Like, I don't know what the preterite is. I never heard of that. Any of that shit. All that stuff. Like, and plus I learned it in Spanish. I never learned it in English to graduate college. So you got to cheat and lie.
See,
yeah, I had to cheat and lie my way through.
You guys have fucking been cheated. You got cheated out of an education. You know, this is like what I was referring to before, jokingly. Like, or we can, you know, we can have a space program or we can look after these Negroes. But the truth, the fact of the matter, and it's a goddamn crime and it pisses me off, is that when the Supreme Court made their Brown versus Board of Education decision, and then 7 or 8 years later, when President Kennedy sicked his wormy little brother and the National Guard on the southern states that refused to integrate, they made a literal, clear, and conscious choice between we can either educate our white kids or we can throw these blacks into the schools and turn them into a zoo.
Yeah.
And they chose the zoo.
Right.
I mean, I could, you know.
Because up north, they don't have the blacks like down here, man.
I feel old as fuck, man, when I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, you know, the part of the class where, and they started teaching us this shit like in second or third grade, but, you know, it went on further through school as you got to more complex grammar and all this stuff, but that they didn't teach you guys how to diagram sentences. That was something we had to do at every school I ever went to, that they would put sentences out in front of you. And sometimes it would be like on a test and you're doing it at your desk. But, you know, oftentimes the teacher would write a sentence up on the board. It'd be like, John likes to throw the ball to his sister, Wendy. And they want you to go up there and they want you to diagram that sentence. They want you to show the subject and the predicate. They want you to pick out the nouns and the verbs and, you know, where's the participles and all that shit. You know, show me a conjunction in there.
That's where the A. Wyatt Man meme comes from. I is a motherfucker, you B is a motherfucker, right. We is a motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was really like that too.
My mammy gave me a dollar so I could or my mammy gave me some money so I could go to de stove. Yeah, it's Ebonics. That's the A. Wyatt Man Ebonics.
And he said,
what's next? A math course called Negronomics.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
I'm a bibliophile, and I really love reading, or I used to when I had time to do it. And so I just sort of intuitively grasp, you know, what a proper sentence would be like in subject-verb agreement and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was astounding to me that was never a thing. And I remember listening to a William Pierce broadcast that he's talking about this and how he studied. They did the same thing, you know, like you had to construct a sentence and stuff like that and point out what... See, I never learned it, so I can't tell you. But, you know, the different way to construct a sentence. And I was like, oh, shit, that's a thing?
Well, it's,
it seems like something we should have been taught.
Well, it's no wonder that almost nobody on social media ever uses the word whom properly. Because to do that, you have to know the difference between a subject and an object, you know, in a sentence.
Or there.
Yeah, there, or there, yeah.
I remember a fucking PSA on the TV, and it was the ghetto, and there was graffiti sprayed on the wall, and it said, to who... it may concern, and there was like some college-bound nigga who went up there with his own can of spray paint and corrected it and said, to whom? And it was supposed to be all this inspirational like shit, uplifting the Negro mind and all that.
Yeah.
I have a textbook from the 20s, and it's elementary school Latin.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's unheard of now.
Well, they didn't... That was already gone by the time I got to school. And I'm not sure whether that was ever really a thing in the public school that, you know, regular poor to middle class white kids went to. But it was a thing that was taught, you know, back in the day when, like, the rich people would hire tutors or they would set up their own little schools or the somewhat better off middle class families would set up their own schools. They would definitely, they wanted their kids, and it was something that had gone on in Great Britain forever, that they wanted them taught, they wanted to be able to read in the original Greek and Latin, and that was for two reasons. Because the Bible was written in, the New Testament was written in Greek and Latin, but that wasn't even the biggest reason. They wanted them to be able to read the philosophers and the statesmen who had constructed the ideas of a republic and understand them in their original language. You know, and the thing is,
how racist.
It was also the language of academics like science and law.
Yeah, yeah, like Greek is the language of medicine and Latin's the language of law and all that. Yeah, that's true. But even, you know, setting that stuff aside, You know, any excuse to not properly educate these kids, any excuse to make them just into sponges for all the pause that you want to force down their throat, that it's horrible and it's bad for your country if you're a person like us who wants a country that is vibrant for reasons other than it has undulating masses of non-whites, right? You want a country that's vibrant, that's strong, that is constantly aiming for the stars, that's constantly doing great things, that provides a beautiful society for its citizens and everything. It's horrible for that, but it's great for the people who are pushing all this other stuff because they don't want people thinking. I mean, if you all of a sudden raised up an entire generation of people who could think critically and who are well-educated, and you could just snap your fingers and it would happen right now, people would be marching on their state houses in Washington and shit would change. I mean, they wouldn't be marching like freedom riders. They'd be marching like angry mobs with pitchforks and torches and shit. And things would change. But, you know, we had this dumbed down. And you can tell it, you know, anytime that you start having online debates with people about anything, you know, they've basically been educated by the television and the fucking movies and the stuff, the stuff that they were taught in school basically backed all that up. They've got this, you know, they're absolutely, I mean, I know it's an old meme now, but they're absolutely these fucking NPCs. Their brains are not functioning machines of learning and critical thinking. Their brains are this goddamn program that runs, that was put into them. And for everything that contravenes the Zog narrative, you know, they have a particular program and they spout out a name at it and stop interacting with it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, against immigration, wants wall, program running, Nazi block, you know, and and so like, but yeah, the thing that's so bothersome about this is that, you know, when we say things like we want to restore America, or, you know, we want the country that our forefathers had and that our founders intended and all that, that requires that the people who are active citizens, in other words, the people who are voting, and especially the people who are going to be getting civically engaged, whether it's at the local level, state level, federal level, whatever it is, these people need to be not only well-educated, but they need to have been taught how to think critically. And, you know, another big problem with this is that no matter how good the school is, the parents have a lot to do with that. You know, like when I was growing up, and a lot of times it would be very frustrating for me, but it was one of the things my dad always did. If I asked him to tell me what a word meant, he would point at the dictionary and say, there's a dictionary right there. Go look it up and read me the definition. Or, you know, if I said something that I was obviously repeating some crap that I'd learned on a TV show or on the news or something, he would say, okay, sit down and explain to me how that works. And, you know, I think that kind of thing goes a long way towards raising up a child who thinks critically, but it takes a certain amount of time and effort from the parent. I mean, you know, if somebody's like, Dad, what does X word mean that they just heard on TV? Well, the easiest thing is, you know, what's a camera? Oh, a camera's the thing you take a picture with. You know, whatever. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. Just ignore them and try to keep watching the fucking whatever Friends or whatever stupid sitcom it is you're watching, right? Wave your kid off. But if you're actually going to have the type of country that your average American or American nationalist wants, you've got to have an educated group of people who is able and willing to think critically. Because you cannot, I mean, even though it's not democracy, of course, it's a republic is a whole different thing, but a republic has to have those type of people in it. Because what happens is when the people start getting dumbed down, what we've seen historically is that these Jews convince them that they live in a democracy.
Yeah. In order for a democracy to function, we have to have a well-informed public. We got the press. We got the fucking line, the Lugan press.
But I mean,
it's their job.
A democracy is the worst form of government there is. It absolutely is. Even if you have a well-informed public, because you can whip up a mob to do whatever it wants to certain segments of your country when you live in a democracy. In a pure democracy, a bunch of neighbors can get mad and say, "I'm sick of old Joe over there. Let's all vote to take away his shit and hang him so we don't have to deal with him in the neighborhood anymore. Because, you know, he's an asshole. He plays his music loud. Whatever, you know. I don't like the color he painted his shutters." You know, it's like, it's a thing that I bring up from time to time. I think I said it on one of the live streams this week. But it's always an apt thing, is that it's a Benjamin Franklin quote. And, you know, the patriotard types like to use it a lot, but that doesn't make it any less of a good quote. A democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. A republic is a well-armed sheep contesting the results.
I'd settle at this point for some sort of like benevolent dictatorship.
Well, yeah, anything's better than what we've got. And that may be, you know, we may absolutely need some type of dictatorship to get us out of the state we're in. You know, the original Republic of Rome had several dictators. And that's where the term came from, is during time of war or widespread panic or some type of catastrophe, the Senate would elect a dictator. And part of the job of the dictator was that he was supposed to step down. And, you know, go ahead.
The city of Cincinnati is named after Cincinnatus. I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but he was the Roman general that they nominated or elected to be dictator. And he was reluctant to take power.
Yeah. And he gave it back when the crisis was over, right?
Yeah, when you have an authoritarian government, you can get things done instantly. The king can just order it, and it gets done instantly. Yeah. So you can, if he's smart and he's competent, it's definitely the best way to handle things. Democracy, the only good thing that really comes from a democracy is that shit never goes too far at all. It just sits there in the middle. So yeah, you'll never have a bad leader running the shit to the ground, but you also never have a good one. You know, so it's just kind of like the default, sit there and just do nothing.
Well, the thing is, even our American form of government has had forever mechanisms for basically the same thing. And historically, presidents have used them. I mean, Lincoln turned himself into a complete dictator using legal constructs of the government. We've got all these war powers. And I don't support Lincoln or what he did. But, you know, we had all these. Now, you know, in one of these, like, if you could change a few things in history. Now, I certainly wouldn't support the war and the way that it was carried out or anything, but I'd have a whole different opinion of Lincoln if he had lived a little bit longer and he had fulfilled his campaign promise that when the slaves were freed, he was going to export them all to Liberia.
That's what he was saying the whole time, too, man.
Well, I mean,
I don't think he would have.
He probably wasn't going to, because by the time the war was over, they had whipped up such hatred for the South with this wartime propaganda that basically the original Marxists, even though that wasn't a term then and it wasn't really an ideology then, but they were so anti the old order and they were so dirty, the radical rump Republicans, they used the blacks as a cudgel to beat the Southern people over the head with throughout the Reconstruction. And I don't think Lincoln would have even tried to talk him out of that, because, you know, he was a political beast. He would have known what he was up against, and he would have known that he had wrought it, you know. And he was already, you know, I mean, the Emancipation Proclamation, that was the first big historical example of somebody applying the all men are created equal line in the Declaration of Independence to the blacks. He said, you know, fourscore and 7 years ago, on this continent, we founded a government that was dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, and that's the moral argument that he was giving for freeing the slaves. So I don't think he was ever going to get rid of the slaves.
He's a shifty politician because during his campaign, he would go to slave states and say, I'm in favor of keeping slavery. You know, he's just a shifty politician.
He was a lawyer.
Well, his main quote was, see, his thing was, and, you know, based on the Constitution, as it was understood at the time, this was a radically anti-American thing to be saying. But his thing was that he was going to keep the Union intact and whole no matter what. He said, if I can preserve the Union by getting rid of slavery, I will. If I can preserve the Union by keeping slavery, I will. If I can preserve the Union by making part of it free and part of it slave, I will. So he, you know, the whole thing was to force the Southern states to stay in. And I believe one of his quotes that wasn't in a speech or anything, but somebody asked him about, you know, the Southern states are talking about secession. Are you going to let them go? And he said, let them go. Who will pay for the government? You know, so, I mean, it was a whole thing. It was a whole thing. And I don't know. Boy, we have really gotten into a history posting thing here and a philosophy posting thing here. But, you know, the thing that I want to back this up with is I want to make sure that nobody out there who's listening takes anything that I am saying as a criticism of America itself or the idea of the American nation or any of that. I 100% love the American nation, and I want to restore it to what it should be. And I believe that that's as if not more doable than any of all these other crazy solutions that people have about Balkanization or Rahoa now and all that. You know, this is the thing I believe in. Go ahead, Hate Farmer.
I was just going to make the observation that Lincoln and Roosevelt were the two most dictatorial presidents, perhaps, that we've had. And they've also been the most harmful. The power of the executive has never been flexed on the American people worse than by those two presidents.
You're talking about the second Roosevelt.
Yeah, FDR.
You know, Teddy had his moments, too, about being dictatorial, but he was real good about it. When he flexed and did things, you know, it was to our benefit. Like, he flexed and just created the national park system. And it's probably the only reason, or if not the only, one of the main reasons that we don't have, like, you know, condos on the Grand Canyon and shit like that.
Seriously.
You know, but the problem is when you have these mechanisms where a president can flex and use that power, it's very important who you elected. And, you know, I would like to see Trump flex and step forward and say, okay, I'm flexing and I'm invoking the War Powers Act because, you know, this immigration and these bad actors, both within and without the government, are a clear and present danger to the United States of America. And we are going, I mean, I'm sending the military down to the border. We are putting up a wall, and we're going to send the rest of the military and every apparatus of law enforcement that we have on the United States, and they are going to start scouring the countryside for every illegal alien, and we are deporting them. And if their countries won't take them, too bad. We're dumping them out right on the shore, and they can do whatever it is they're going to do. And we are going to relaunch the House Un-American Activities Committee in a way that has some teeth, and we're going to start looking into these people who are purposely trying to destroy this nation and have been doing so. But, you know, Trump ain't the guy to do that shit.
No.
I don't think he knows how.
No, of course he doesn't know how.
Yeah. He's a reality TV show host.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you're going to be a president who's willing to do that, you got to be willing to take the consequences, because the powers that be are going to try to take you out any way they can. They're going to take you out, and they're going to try to take out everybody around you. I mean, you basically would have to live in a bubble with some massive Praetorian guard around you.
His entire presidency has been a filibuster so far, nonstop. The whole time they've been doing that to him, not letting him just breathe.
Yeah.
Russia and this and that.
Well, now, yep. and we're going to talk about this.
And you got to learn to deal with that, too.
When we come back from the break, now it's because he is being racist toward Elijah Cummings and all the Negroes of Baltimore. But we've been going.
And also, he went to a party once with Epstein.
Right, right. But anyway, we have just completed an hour, so it is definitely time for us to go to break. Let's do some plugs here. If you're now, this has been at least the last half of the first half of or the first segment of TKR has been the perfect exposition of ideas that makes me able to say, if you're a young American white male of good character who is age 18 or older, and the issues that we have been discussing on the Crypto Report are important to you, and you would like to engage in pro-white, pro-American activism, then you should absolutely, positively consider applying for membership with Stormer Book Club. To find out more, email stormerbookclubs@airmail.cc. That's plural, stormerbookclubs@airmail.cc. We got the merch store down there, and we've got some great new merch in there. We've got a whole line called the Patriotic Uncle Az line of products. We've got t-shirt, we've got travel stainless steel travel mugs, we've got your insulated tumblers in 20 and 30 ounce, and we have two different sizes of poster and a t-shirt, if I didn't say t-shirt. So go to the link here in the description for the show and click on that Gear Bubble link and go check out some merch. It's a great way to support the show. If you don't want any merch but you want to support the show, there are two ways to do that. There is Bitcoin and Monero, and those addresses are also in the description. And don't forget to get over there and subscribe to the DLive so that you can continue to hear the live streams. As I said in the first half, I've already tested it out, and I'm telling you, these live streams over on DLive are going to be, it's going to be a whole world's difference in the streams from when they were on YouTube. So go over there and subscribe to that DLive. It don't cost nothing. If you want to contact somebody at the Crypto Report, it's tkr@airmail.cc. All right. Did I forget anything, fellas?
Yeah, send us some good music.
Oh, send us some good music, yeah. All right. Let's go to break.
You're listening to The Crypto Report. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello and welcome to Literacy Weekly, brought to you by your local Stormer Book Club. This week's passage is from The Bloody White Baron by James Palmer, the extraordinary story of the Russian nobleman who became the last Khan of Mongolia. Baron Roman Nikolai Maximilian von Ungern Sternberg was an anti-Judaic Bolshevik white Russian military leader and crusader who sacrificed everything for the cause of liberation and reconquest for his native Christian Mother Russia and adopted Mongolian homeland. Although very much maligned by contemporary historians, especially those with a Semitic axe to grind, and portrayed as the blackest villains in Mongolia during the era of resistance to advancing Russian communist forces. In the West, the malevolent power of the hidden Jewish king caused apocalyptic devastation. In the East, the benevolent power of the hidden Buddhist king plucked the world from the fires. This image of a cosmic struggle, a battle between good and evil, would become the core of Ungern's belief. Another anti-Semitic piece, the Zunder document, never achieved the same popularity as the Protocols, but was even more widely distributed in Russia in 1919. The letter was a gloating testament of how the sons of Israel stand on the threshold of leadership of the world, and that the Russian people were now under the yoke of Jewish power. Now the Jews had finally seized power. They should show neither pity nor mercy to the Russian people, a sentiment stressed throughout the letter. The logical conclusion for many whites was that the Jews should be shown no mercy in return. Such materials built on anti-Semitic feelings were common among the Russian officer caste in particular,
who saw the Jews as soft, city-dwelling, and unmanly. It was this kind of propaganda combined with the traditional anti-Semitism of the region which caused the horrors of the white retreat across the Ukraine in late 1919. There, tens of thousands of Jews were slaughtered by vengeful white soldiers, especially by Ukrainian Cossacks. Many of the most vehement anti-Semites came out of the Ukraine with the German armies and went on to help drip the poison of Jew hatred all over Europe. Russia existed halfway between the pure East and the corrupt West. It was still redeemable, but its future crushed morally, mentally, and economically. However, Russia could rise unanimously against the revolutionary spirit which cannot be expected of the Western powers now. The monarchy could be restored, but only on the condition that the Russian people would regain their common sense, otherwise they would be subjugated to acknowledge such necessity. Ungern and others like him would whip the country into shape, but first it had to undergo a cleansing period to rid itself of corrupt Western influence, particularly that of the Jews. Against Asia's preservation of the truth stood the lie of Jewish Bolshevism. Eastern culture had been founded 3,000 years ago. So had Judaism and the International in ancient Babylon. The Communist Party was a secret Jewish party which arose 3,000 years ago for the capture of authority in all countries, and its purpose is now being carried out. This was the climax of a long war. Hidden Oriental wisdom contrasted with hidden Jewish evil. Knowledge of their true purposes was another hidden secret known only by a few people, while all the Jewish states have followed their plan. The Jewish hand could be seen in more than just revolution, however. Like many anti-Semites, Ungern believed the Jews were sufficiently cunning to be simultaneously behind both capitalism and revolutionary socialism. As he outlined in a letter to a friend in Peking, the West was fundamentally corrupted by Jewish capitalists. In the course of the struggle against the criminals who have destroyed and profaned Russia, it must be remembered that, on account of the complete deprivation of morals and the absolute lasciviousness, intellectual and physical, which now prevail in Russia, it is not possible to retain our old standard of values. Truth and mercy are no longer admissible. Henceforth, there can only be truth and merciless hardness. The evil which has fallen upon the land, with the object of destroying the divine principle in the human soul, must be extirpated root and branch. Fury against the heads of the revolution, its devoted followers, must know no boundaries. This was the ultimate expression of Ungern's belief in the counter-revolutionary struggle as essentially a metaphysical one. Evil, as represented by Judeo-communism, threatened everything. To oppose these evils, mercy had to be replaced with hardness. The old values were not false. They were just no longer admissible in a time of such struggle. Facing a merciless enemy, it was necessary to be merciless in return. Ungern had praised war for scouring away weakness. Now, souls fired and hard, he and his followers could become the scourge of God. Only when Judaism and communism were removed would peace, the greatest gift of heaven, be restored to earth. Christ was taken to be a sign that none of the wicked shall understand and used to justify anti-Semitism. Okay, that was from The Bloody White Baron. Thank you, James Palmer.
Join the Cyber Taxi Division. We'll be right back. fight the thing that you want.
Some of them sick Greenland beats right there. Old cyber Nazi. Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not, but before his Bandcamp got showed on his About Me page, where it said location, he claimed he was in Greenland.
So he's some kind of Inuit?
I would think not. no, he'd be too busy sucking on whale blubber and fixing his mucklucks to be mixing those sick beats. But yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
I found that it was interesting about Count von Sternberg. That guy is really, really fascinating. I first found out about him reading a book that, if our listeners are interested, there's a public domain copy of it. It's called Beasts, Men, and Gods by Fyodor Ossendowski, and it's a sort of a travelogue, and he came across von Sternberg, and the dude was just amazing. It was like Apocalypse Now shit, you know. The Mongolians thought that he was the reincarnation of the Genghis Khan, and he kind of thought he was too.
Well, man, do y'all hear those crickets?
Oops, my bad.
Turn those crickets off, man.
Yeah. Wyatt Tuber had his window open. I feel bad for saying anything about it because I know it's hot AF in that room Wyatt Tuber's in, but we do get complaints.
Yeah, I forgot it's nighttime.
We do get complaints about the crickets. We have gotten complaints about the crickets. Anyway, I mean,
I think it sounds pretty nice.
Well, the thing is, it worries me that that's like the audience. But anyway. if you get there, but yeah, go read the book. Hate Farmer just told you to read about von Sternberg, and after you've read it through fully, go back to the beginning and use it to learn how to diagram sentences. before we get into the whole Elijah Cummings and Baltimore thing, I want to kind of go back to, you know, the diversity is our strength and everything. And I'm going to play a little news clip courtesy of Mr. Wyatt Tuber dropping this gem in the prep. And I just want to let you know that In 1980, this is the type of thing that was not only possible, but that no one in America would have ever believed that this type of thing would be possible. And when it's over, tell me if this is not the new normal. Here we go.
Mecca, yes, it was all caught on camera Monday afternoon by these surveillance cameras.
I was shocked. I didn't know what to think.
Shocked because she saw this. Three teens with BB guns.
These three teens are literal, you know, it's teens in the sense of news language teens. It's three blacks, and they're apparently minors. They've all got their faces blurred out, and they're up in this woman's yard. This woman is obviously of Hispanic origin. But let's continue.
Outside of her home.
Chase them with my car.
Zita first thought those teens robbed her home.
They fell on the ground. And when they fell on the ground, I seen the guns coming out of their pockets.
Then she ran around back.
And when I get to my backyard, I found the man with the three kids. He said, we've just been shot at with BB guns.
A father of three seen here, allegedly shot by these three teens.
The 13-year-old kid had been bleeding from his arm because he was shot on his arm, and the little 5-year-old girl was shot on her leg.
But the problem...
Jesus. And he said, no, please don't call the police. He says, I'm illegal. I don't want to get in trouble by the police. I don't want to be sent back to Mexico.
Zita filed a report and showed police this video, but she says the police couldn't do anything about it because the victims left the scene.
You're like helpless, you know, because what do you do next?
Zita says she's checked in with the family and tells me they're doing okay. In South Oklahoma City, Christine Stanwood, KOCO 5 News.
Now, what a clown world mess of shit. You've got three pickaninnies running around with BB guns that look like Uzis and Glocks and shit.
Yeah, they use them for robberies a lot.
Well, I
yeah, they looked real. They had like tactical lights on them too.
Yeah, and they are chasing a family of illegals and shooting at them. They chase them up into this Hispanic woman's yard, and they're shooting them with these BB guns. And like, there's a little 5-year-old girl and everything. And you know, if these people had been white or whatever, they'd have done the same thing. And they're shooting them up with this. And the only thing that stops all this nonsense is this woman thinking that her house was being robbed. And she comes outside and tries to run them down with her car. And then it turns out that the victims are illegals. And they don't want her to call the cops. So you don't want to get in trouble and be sent back to Mexico and all this. It's just none of these people, no one in that story should even be in our country. It's, I mean, the blacks, okay, you can make the argument, yeah, that, you know, they're here, we're stuck with them, that we brought them over here to be slaves, and then they got freed. And all that. Well, maybe so. But there's something wrong with the country that they feel free to just run around and do this kind of crap. Because let me tell you, you know, they talk about, oh, Whitey is so privileged, and it's always been a white privileged country and all this. There was never, ever one second in my life, and I had BB guns. And as a kid, I even had my own .22 rifle and stuff. But they were, and you know, I had the ubiquitous high powered pellet rifle back then, the original Benjamin air rifle that, like, you pumped it up 10 times to get it to fire really powerfully, shoot that 177 caliber pellet out of there. And my friends all had BB guns and pellet guns. And there was never a moment, not one second in our lives, that we thought that it was an okay or reasonable thing to do, that we could possibly get away with, to start chasing around families and shooting them with those BB guns. And now you got these blacks chasing around families with small children, shooting them with BB guns. And then the cops come. The cops get called, and the cops are like, well, everybody's left. Fuck it. I don't feel like doing nothing.
And what city was this again?
Oklahoma City.
Asmer, you know what's funny? You mentioned that, right? And then it's like, you know, Tamir Rice. Have you heard of Tamir Rice? There's all these angry protests and this whole Black Lives Matter.
Yeah,
about
because
a kid
he
using a fake gun the same way and getting shot for real.
Yeah, and that was
he's a victim. So
right, and that was one of those airsoft pistols, and those things are made purposely to look and feel and function and everything just like a real one. You know, if it's a Glock, it's made to function like a real Glock. If it's a 1911, it's made to function like a real one. I mean, like, you know, it's because guys do this airsoft stuff, and it looks fun as hell. You know, they get all camoed up, and they have giant courses, you know, that mimic battlefields and or urban warfare and stuff like that. And, they, you know, they get the airsoft handguns and shotguns and rifles and all. And, like, every time they pull the trigger on these things, like, the slide racks back like it's loading another bullet. And this Tamir Rice, you know, talking about, he shot a little baby. He was a big old boy. I mean, I'm not happy that he's dead or anything like that. But I'm saying, you know, what were these cops supposed to do? They pull up on him because they've gotten a call that there's a youth in the park running around chasing people with a pistol. And they pull up already all hyped up, and they get out. And if I recall correctly, yeah, he was like 13 years old, but he was like damn near 6 feet tall and a big old boy. And he comes running at the cops, pointing the pistol at him, and they're like, he's going to shoot us. And so they shot him. You know, the whole thing's a tragedy, but it's not one of these things like they didn't shoot some six-year-old kid with his cap gun, you know. That kid wasn't up to any good. He knew that the reason he was doing what he was doing was because he knew that everybody thought that gun was real.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, and
same thing. Yeah.
But this thing with the BB guns and everything. I mean, it's just a total story of clown world. I mean, this should not be going on. We should have a civil authority.
And they get away with it because they're Mexican illegals. That's cool.
Well, the Mexican illegals aren't getting away with anything. They're the victims of the...
Yeah, but the blacks the get blacks away with it and run around and do it to a white.
Well, they would have got away with it no matter who it was. The woman the woman made a report and had it all on camera.
Yeah, they never do catch anybody, man.
They don't look. They didn't even bother to look. They said right there on the news, the police said, well, they've left the scene, so fuck it. You know? And like...
It, you know, that it's a felony to do that.
Yeah,
you know, if you use a fake gun to rob somebody, you can still get convicted with armed robbery, just like you can get arrested for selling, like, you know, plaster of Paris or whatever is crack.
Well, I mean, this is definitely a serious assault. I mean, they had the kids bleeding and all, you know, and it's a dangerous assault. You know, I hate to be that guy, but, you know, you could put somebody's eye out with that or whatever, right? You can
get yourself killed.
Yeah, you can definitely get yourself killed. And that would have been the best outcome of this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know? I mean...
Too bad Florida Man wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah, really. or you could just pull this on the wrong person, because as bad as BB's thing, if they pulled this crap on the wrong guy, you know, when he realized he was being shot with the BB gun, he would have just rushed him and started beating the living shit out of him, you know? That would have been awesome. but you know, they got him a family of, like, the father, obviously, from the video where his face is blurred out too, you know, to protect the illegal. He was one of these short, obese Guatemalans. And, you know, he didn't want nothing to do with these N-words. They were running and hiding, going, oh, hit me, in the backyard of, you know, whoever's house happened to be there. And they were lucky that there was a female inside with more balls than the father.
You know, somewhere there's a blog or like a Huffington Post writer who's trying to figure out a way to blame this completely, like, devoid of context or, like, you know, mentioning it to the blacks. They're going to say, this is how unwelcoming and terribly racist fucking the United States is to immigrants.
Yeah.
Of course.
And this is because of Trump. This wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for Trump.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, this kind of crap, I mean, as far as, like, stuff being done to illegals because they're here illegally has been going on forever. And there's way less of it now than before, because this was a really unusual thing. This was an extremely uninformed wetback, because the authorities and the government and everything have been bending over backwards and spending whatever it took to advertise in Spanish and everything and say, oh, you know, the law enforcement is here for you, and we're not going to check your immigration status. If you've witnessed a crime or been a victim of a crime, blah, 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 give us a call. But, like, I remember back in the 80s and 90s when every now and then these articles would come out where, like, you know, back then, your wetbacks were all like 20s and 30s year old males who were up here to work. And they were, you know, they were working for money under the table. Of course, I'm not saying that like, oh, what a bunch of good guys. I'm saying that's who was here. Of course, they were taking jobs from Americans and all that. But they would work and they would save up all that money. Like, they'd come up here and work for a season or whatever, and they'd save up all that money and go back to Mexico. And there were, like, dudes who targeted these Mexicans. Because, you know, back then it was really true with the stereotype. You'd have, like, an apartment, like a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment in the seedy part of town, or a rent house, 2 or 3 bedroom rent house. And there might be one family that lived there, and they had a woman there and some kids. And, like, the woman was doing the cooking and the laundry and all, and they were getting paid by all these guys. But the floors would just be covered in mattresses and blankets and crap, and there'd be like 20 of these guys living in there. And like, American people were doing home invasion robberies on them and taking all those piles of cash, because they knew that they had the, you know, like, they do it on Friday night. It's like, they knew that they had these big piles of cash, and that B, they weren't going to call the cops. So this stuff's been going on forever. But not like this, not this just out in the public, like, hey, this is just some happy-go-lucky Negroid hijinks here. We're going to run around with these BB guns and start assaulting families and children and stuff just for the hell of it. And you know, there was probably more to it than this, because they had bags of stuff coming back from the grocery store. Those boys were probably going to take all that shit.
Now, can you imagine if those were white teenagers that had done that? Holy shit. News would be shut down.
Oh, yeah. Well, imagine,
but this story has like 5 views.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rachel Maddow would be like menstruating from her eyes on television. Yeah.
Oh, that Morning Joe would dedicate a week of shows about it and blame it 100% on Trump.
At least. Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Well, let's get to some more entertaining fare. we have it. This is from the Daily Stormer, article posted today by Andrew Anglin. Trump lashes out against Elijah Cummings in unhinged racist rant. Anglin says, I am shocked by these appallingly racist tweets. And these are 2 tweets from Trump. And I'll just read them as one statement, because that's what they're intended to be. Representative Elijah Cummings has been a brutal bully, shouting and screaming at the great men and women of Border Patrol about conditions at the southern border, when actually his Baltimore district is far worse and more dangerous. His district is considered the worst in the USA. As proven last week during a congressional tour, the border is clean, efficient, and well-run, just very crowded. Cummings' district is disgusting, rat and rodent infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he could help clean up this very dangerous and filthy place. Anglin writes, how dare he? This is absolute skin hatred. At least Nancy shall defend Cummings. And Nancy Pelosi quote tweeted Trump and said, Representative Cummings is a champion in the Congress and the country for civil rights and economic justice, a beloved leader in Baltimore, and deeply valued colleague. We all reject racist attacks against him and support his steadfast leadership. Anglin points out, Elijah Cummings was a king in Africa. His face looks exactly like the face on the Sphinx. How dare the orange Cheeto Hitler disgrace his proud legacy? Elijah Cummings built civilization before the white man came and stole it. Orange Man went so far as to imply that Elijah Cummings and his kind are not human beings. And it's another tweet from Trump. Says, why is so much money sent to the Elijah Cummings district when it is considered the worst run and most dangerous anywhere in the United States? No human being would want to live there. Where is all this money going? How much is stolen? Investigate this corrupt mess immediately.
Those are good questions.
Yeah, Orange Man has finally gone too far this time. And so, of course, CNN weighed in on it. And since I am not a regular watcher of CNN,
I'm not really familiar with the CNN Igger that is the anchor on this. But his name is Victor Blackwell. Ha 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 ha. The title of the video on CNN's YouTube channel is CNN's Victor Blackwell tears up defending hometown over Trump attacks. So let's get right into
this.
Look
at this shit.
Let's get
this
right
morning, the president attacked another member of Congress on Twitter. This time it's House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings. He wrote this.
I swear to God, I just thought he was going to say, this time it's House Nigger. That's what I was actually expecting to come out. Here we go.
This time it's House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings. He wrote this. Cummings' district is a disgusting, rat and rodent infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he could help clean up this very dangerous and filthy place. No human being would want to live there. Infested. That's usually reserved for references to rodents and insects, but we...
Well, hold on there. Isn't that exactly the reference he just made? That it's infested with rats and rodents? The thing is, these people should do their research. If they really wanted to accuse Trump, they could accuse him of having gotten this from the old 1980s A. Wyatt Mann meme, where it had a picture of a Jew and a picture of a colored boy. It's basically, and it was all in, and it had a picture of a rat and a roach. And what it basically boiled down to is it said, a world without Jews and niggers is like a world without rats and roaches. And they could have played that angle. But they're too dumb. But let's go on.
Sloppy. We've seen the president invoke infestation to criticize lawmakers before. You see a pattern here? Just 2 weeks ago, President Trump attacked four minority congresswomen. Why don't they go back to the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came?
Good question.
Reminder, three of them were born here. All of them are
American. Who
cares? Infested, he says. A week before his inauguration, January 2017, Congressman John Lewis should spend more time on fixing and helping his district, which is in horrible shape and falling apart, not to mention crime-infested.
Donald
Trump has tweeted more than 43,000 times. He's insulted thousands of people, many different types of people. But when he tweets about infestation, it's about black and brown people. September 2014, at the height of an urgent health emergency.
Guys, I think
Trump
might be
racist. Why are we sending thousands of ill-trained soldiers into Ebola-infested areas of Africa? Bring the plague to the U.S.? Obama is so stupid. Infested, he says. There's a revolution going on in California. So many sanctuary areas want out of this ridiculous crime-infested and breeding concept. Infested, he says. The president says about Congressman Cummings' district.
Oh, he's tearing up. He's rorking his lips like he's trying not to cry.
That no human would want to live there. You know who did, Mr. President? I did.
Well, point proven.
From the day I was in the hospital to the day I left for college. And a lot of people.
Oh, you mean you don't live there now? What's up?
There are challenges, no doubt. But people are proud of their community. I don't want to sound self-righteous.
You don't.
You don't want to make it sound like you're self-righteous, but you want to be self-righteous.
They love their children who pledge allegiance to the flag, just like people who live in.
No, they don't. They're fucking flag kneelers.
They are Americans, too. We'll be right back.
Oh,
so
oh.
You can't criticize Elijah Cummings without having some Negro crying on TV, huh?
Apparently not. Cool. Well, anytime this is like the new weapon that they're trying to have is like, you know, we put all these people of color up there to trash America. And when some politician says, I don't like America being trashed in this way, they're like, you're attacking black people, you racist. And right. But this infestation thing, I mean, come on, CNN. This is like the laziest form of journalism research in the world. You know what they did? They went on fucking Twitter, and in the Twitter search, they put in Trump infestation, and clicked the tweets search. And they're like, oh, look, out of 43,000 times, he said infestation like 20 times. And we can find like 10 times that it was specifically about black people or black cities or whatever. You know, I mean, this is what we have come to. But what's really great is the woke comments. Let's
they're always the best.
Yeah, a lot of them from yours truly, actually. And the responses that I get from people are just really great. Now, I'm going to look here in the comments section and see if my comments are still there. But if they're not, fortunately, I've screen capped a lot of them.
Well, while you're looking that up, I just want to point out, I think one of you posted
this morning, the President
article.
Go ahead.
People who refuse to see or hear Trump's racism and the attack on Baltimore this are morning, beyond reach, but here goes. I just want to point out the picture here. I think it's the city council president, Brandon Scott, some Jesse Smollett looking nigga. They have cropped the picture just below where you can see the top of his kicks. He's wearing a suit and tie and everything. He's got like a binder with them words, but you can see the top of his fucking like Nikes. Seriously? Yeah. Look at that.
You can take him out Baltimore, but you can't take the Baltimore out them, huh?
Yeah. This is another thing like the war on noticing. Like Baltimore, everyone knows Baltimore is a shithole. I mean, it's like San Francisco, Detroit, Chicago, Baltimore.
Okay, here are some comments from the top comments. Asmodor says, in all caps and bold letters, President Trump, we love you. Please send them all back to Africa in your second term. And so Gus Chambers, YouTuber Gus Chambers, responds, here's a plan all Americans can get behind that's sure to win Trump a second term. Reparations for slavery in the form of a one-way ticket back to Africa. How could anyone oppose this? A free ride away from evil, racist, white people to a place where they will never be oppressed for the color of their skin ever again. Then F.A. Thomas responded to me, go back to the Caucasus, or he doesn't say Caucasus, he says go back to the Caucasus Mountains, the caves of Europe. And so I responded to him, no, America is my country, built by my people for my people. You go back. And he says, research your history. You came from the Caucasus Mountains, cave people, Caucasian, Europe. And he's so stupid, this infestation, that he doesn't even realize that the Caucasus Mountains and Europe and all, he doesn't understand any of that. And so I said, yes, we came from Europe and built America. And, of course, just for the hell of it, I put, what is the definition of confusion? And I answered, Father's Day in Baltimore. Bonnie Robbins.
So presumably this is a black guy saying, go back to the caucus.
Yes. Yes.
So should he just go back to Africa?
Well, he should go back to some... Look. If he holds himself to the standard that I'm holding white people to, he doesn't have any place to go. Because I'm saying, no, white people go where they built nations. So where is he going to go?
Back in time to when he was a king.
Yeah. Bonnie Robinson responds to me. She's responding to the Father's Day in Baltimore thing. She says, unkind. You really don't know anything. True Americans seek to build people up, not tear them down. We need to lend helping hands and heart to move forward as a nation. But Trump is making everything worse. No compassion for those who are struggling. No ability to stand in another person's shoes. This is not the hallmark of a true leader. Vote him out. And some guy named 3DS Max says, Bonnie Blacks are a disgrace. throwing buckets of water on cops working and protecting people. What's next? Fighting at Disneyland, Jesse Smollett, Don Lemon, daily shootings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, a bunch of people say, like, tell her to STFU and all that. But I responded to her and I said, true Americans seek to live in the nation envisioned by the founders. Look up the 1790 Immigration Act. It is you who knows nothing, and you are another example of why women should not be allowed to vote, just as the founders intended. And let's see. And then some guy named Peter Corinthian says, white supremacists are responsible for the most violence among any groups in the U.S. who are grouped together by race. Look it up. And that is so fucking incorrect that I can only I could only respond wrong. But then Peter Corinthians responded to me again, and you can just hear him screeching this shit as he's probably banging cracks into his keyboard. He says, so you support the idea that women are just objects to be assaulted and violated? You don't think your mother should vote? How do you feel about any of the women in your life who you might care about being denied the vote? Do you also support slavery that existed in 1790? You must really hate the Constitution and any amendment approved after 1840. Wow. Time travel back then and stop trying to impose 1790 values on people today. I so hope you don't have a daughter. And of course, I responded to him honestly that, no, my mother absolutely should not vote. I don't support slavery because it's bad for white people, and the slaves should have been sent back to Liberia as Lincoln planned to do. And so Bonnie Robinson,
you're totally fucking up his NPC programming.
With absolutely, comment, man. And then Bonnie Robinson responded to the comment about she shouldn't be allowed to vote. She says, "So you also hate women? I am sad for you. What a lonely man you must be. I'll say a prayer for you." And so I respond, I don't hate women. I just know they would be happier and better off in their natural place, subordinate to their fathers and husbands. That's the natural order of things. And the response has just ended there. I mean, how do you argue with that shit? It's not like I'm positing some kind of, well, you know, let's be philosophical about this. I'm like, no, you know, there's a certain way it's always been, and it's just better that way.
Always has been.
Oh. The comments, that they just, these people are really getting the shit ripped out of them. Let's see.
Where is this at?
This is on the CNN's video called CNN's Victor Blackwell tears up defending hometown over here. I'll put the link in the thing.
All right.
But yeah,
they always come at you with this proposition nation, like a nation of immigrants and all this shit. They say that's America, and then you must hate it. You must hate America because, like, this conception of America. It's like, no, I hate your conception of America.
Well, whenever anybody tells me that America is a nation of immigrants, the first two words either out of my mouth or typed into the reply is, wrong, bitch. And then you explain to them. And I say that whether I'm talking to a male or a female. Because, I mean, what kind of bitch do you have to be a white man who would say some shit like that?
Seriously.
But, yeah, it's in the thing there. Let me go over some of the screen caps here. I got some good screen caps. There are thousands.
This video is going to get put in a limited state, so you can't see the comments. I'm reading them too.
Well,
now,
they're probably going to take the comments down.
But, yeah.
Okay, let me go.
You know, and what about Trump should have compassion for the fucking people of Baltimore. Shouldn't the city authorities in Baltimore have compassion for their citizens? You know, right. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why Baltimore is a shithole. I mean, it's mostly black. But you know they're just notoriously corrupt. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter with these people. It's all just, it doesn't matter what's happened or what the solution is. The answer is always blame Whitey.
Yeah, because one thing they're not going to stop is corruption with black government officials that run these cities.
Yeah,
that's never going to stop. So the next best thing here is blame Whitey.
Yeah, here's Curtis Porter responding to me on something. I don't know what the original post was, but he says, Asmodor, at least now you can claim discrimination too. As I say about time too, what goes around comes back around. And now you know how natives felt when they saw your stinking red asses. And I replied to Curtis Porter, "You babble like an infestation of retarded orangutans." "You are very low IQ and poorly spoken, but thanks for admitting you hate white people." Yeah, I mean, that's the other, you deserve it. I mean, and that's what they've been teaching them all this time, is whatever bad happens to white people, you know, they deserve it because they were so bad to the Indians and the slaves and all this. You know, we're uniquely evil in history. That's critical right. theory. But someone named Mr. Kajia made one of these, you know, pretty woke for a conservative or whatever comments, but he doesn't want to hang himself all the way out there. He says, "What else is it if it isn't an infestation? These areas are filled with subhuman trash, dealers and pimps, gangbangers and thugs, all ruining their own communities." And I replied, I quoted him, I said, "Subhuman trash, dealers and pimps, gangbangers and thugs, all ruining their own communities." In other words, standard urban black community.
All right.
You got to point this stuff out. And I was really going through there. Oh, here's a good one. This is Ms. Diva 2U, you know, number 2 and letter U, so you know who what this is. It says, "Isn't this what Hitler said about them Jews? People better wake the fuck up. Anytime you hear a person who isn't a person of color say infested or rat and rodent crime infested, he is speaking of black and brown people, those who are not white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, male or female." And I said, he was right then, and Trump's right now. And I couldn't help but give her another response. I responded, "Sounds like white America is just a terrible, dangerous place for you poor, innocent people of color who never did do nothing wrong. Perhaps you should begin crowdfunding an exodus back to Africa, where all your dreams will come true." You know, I mean, seriously, what does all this boil down to? What it boils down to is these people hate this country so badly, and they feel like that they've never, ever gotten a decent shake here, and that everything is against them. You know, everything is purposely designed against them, and the white people still want all this bad stuff, you know. But instead of like, hey, let's leave. I mean, we got Wakanda over there and shit, right? Instead of that, they're like, well, let's just keep making Whitey Gibbs us shit. And hopefully one day we gets to rape and kill Whitey out of existence. And then we'll be having all his shit. And we'll all live happily ever after. And everything will just keep working like magic. That's what they thought was going to happen in South Africa.
I was just going to say, yeah, the stores, like the blacks thought that things just magically appeared on the store shelves. And when they got the stores, they were just like sitting back waiting for the cash to roll.
Well, you know, the electricity, that shit just comes out them poles and shit. And they just pays people to go up there and sit around at the electric plant. So why shouldn't they be paying us? I mean, it's going electricity. And, you know, they can't even keep the electricity on for a full day in any of the large cities. I mean, it's been going on for years. They have the announcements every day telling you, okay, we're going to have rolling blackouts this hour and this hour. And, you know, don't run your air conditioners or turn too many lights on during these hours or everything's going to shut completely down, because they can't even manage to run an electric plant. They don't have potable water coming out of the faucets in many, if not most, places now, because the Wakandans are running everything.
Yeah, a big problem in a lot of African cities is they actually just throw their trash in piles, and people build houses on it, and it grows and grows, and it has avalanches. They don't even know what to do with their fucking trash.
Yeah, interestingly,
that's idiocracy level shit.
Yeah, interestingly enough, the same thing happens in Mexico. And you know, like down in Brazil, they have giant shit piles of trash. They call favelas.
Yeah, they live on this shit, man. It's ridiculous.
And that's what they want to turn our country into. And you know, if we're not successful in it's not necessarily even waking white people up, but you know, a lot of that needs to be done. And you can tell that kind of stuff from these comment sections, though you never really know precisely what type of person it is doing the commenting. But outside of the waking white people up thing, is I believe, like Richard Nixon said back in 68 when he was running for president, there is a great silent majority of regular Americans out there who are sick of this stuff, but they're afraid to speak up because they'll be denounced by society and the media and all that. And, you know, we have to be more successful in, you know, making it okay for them to speak up. You know, a good example of that is the, that, what's her name, Goodman.
Emily?
No.
Barbara.
Is it Barbara? The woman who said, "You're so stupid, nigger."
Yeah.
Here, I'll find that story real quick. But yeah, it's like, you know, you have these things.
Nancy
Goodman. Yeah, I knew it was something Goodman. But you have these just normal people out there who have to tolerate this crap all day, every day. And there's no telling how long they put up with this shit. And, you know, it never occurs to them to just tell the truth, because they know, you know, this PC culture has got them scared to death. But here, let's hear about Mrs. Goodman, I assume.
A white patron at a local restaurant calls a black patron the N-word.
All of this captured on cell phone video that has now generated thousands of shares and comments.
Always the
on
niggers
social
with their
media.
Cell phones.
Oh, you're so stupid.
Oh, you know right off the bat when there's cell phone video from some fucking nigger and some confrontation with a white person in public, this nigger has purposely been pushing buttons. Mm-hmm. And doing everything they could, and no telling what they said. And they whipped that camera out just in time to catch this, because this is like, you know, it's some kind of nigger lottery to get video of a white person saying nigger.
Put on cell phone video that has now generated thousands of shares and comments on social media.
Oh, you're so stupid.
We tracked down the women in both sides of this video.
WREL Sarah Kruger talked with them all, joins us now live in Raleigh. Of course, Sarah, this happening at a Bonefish in North Hills, right?
David, that's right. It happened right here yesterday evening during happy hour. The woman who used the racial slur told me today she will not apologize for her language. And in fact, she said she will use the same word again. This minute-long cell phone video shows an encounter between customers at the Bonefish Grill in North Hills.
This person had the audacity right here to come to our table and tell us that we are the rudest people that she has ever met.
Then the woman, who we now know as Nancy Goodman, calls another customer the N-word.
You're too loud.
We're too loud. In your opinion. Let me show you my money. It's just as green as yours.
Rhino, you're so stupid.
I'm a 71-year-old woman who lives in Raleigh. I suffer from tremendous anxiety.
She says that anxiety and the women's behavior pushed her to act as she did.
Dude, I'd have anxiety living in Raleigh, North Carolina, too.
Because they kept pushing at it. So, and that's all I'd really like to say.
What about your use of the N-word?
I used that word because they forced me into it.
Do you see how that's incredibly offensive?
Yes, I do. That's why I said it.
Yep.
I'll say it again to them.
She says she would use that word again to you all.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, see how calm and well-spoken they are now.
Who took the cell phone video. Her friend, Lakeisha Shaw, is the one who was called the racial slur.
I don't care how you feel like we should have been acting. If I was standing on the table with three heads in a purple jumpsuit, nothing justifies.
See, this is the fucking problem.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't give a fuck what nobody think. I don't give a fuck. We out at some Bonefish Grill and a bunch of goddamn crackers expect people to act like civilized human beings up in there. We gonna be as loud as we want. We gonna talk about our pussy and the dick we got last night. We gonna talk about whatever. And I don't give a fuck if everybody hurt. I don't give a fuck if it hurt their ears. My money be green, bitch. Don't come tell me nothing. Goddamn you. I motherfucker. come up talking to, can y'all hold it down a little bit? Racist ass, cracker ass bitch. Oh, you're so stupid, nigga. Oh! You know? That's exactly what it is, man.
Come to my, you know, this is just... And call me a
stupid. Goodness. Go ahead, Ape Farmer.
No, it was a bunch of shows back, maybe in the 50s. There was that really based boomer Uber driver. Remember him? He's like, I don't give a fuck. You're gonna be swinging off the fucking lamp, street lamps, you fucking nigger. In the 50s? Episode 50 something.
Oh, episode 50. Oh, yeah.
You know, and she's filming it, and that's exactly the same thing. You know, she got them all riled up.
Yeah.
And then she busts out the camera. And then there a couple years ago now, there was that dude on the Long Island Railroad. You know,
oh, Bernie Getz.
not him. That was a Subway. It was some Italian dude, and it was the exact same thing. You're like, you're a bunch of fucking monkeys. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And he's just fuming and pissed. And you know it's because these people are just so fucking obnoxious.
Yeah.
And brazen about it. Like, they have absolutely no sense of courtesy or. You know, how to behave and comport themselves in public. Like, everything fucking belongs to them. Every place is their fucking living room.
Yeah.
Their self-identity now is being antisocial. That's literally become their identity as a culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the nigger shit possible. Test for the...
Right. You're acting white if you're not acting as antisocial as possible.
And, you know, we were talking about this on the final Friday night special on YouTube, is how... You know, you just hate to even go out in public anymore if you don't live, like, in some small town where it's almost all white or whatever. If you live in some fucking city or something, it's like every time you go out, you're either having to tolerate all this shit, or, you know, if you man up about it and you're like, look, what you're doing is inappropriate, you're going to end up in some kind of shit. And whether it's the news media that you get in trouble with, or whether the cops get called or whatever, that the authorities are going to be against you. It's like, you know, you go to some fucking, like, say there, you know, I mean, I haven't done this in, I don't know, probably since the 80s, but you go to some movie. I think the last one that I did this with was the original Bat, and I never did it much either. It may have been the only one, that other than when I was taking, like, a small child to Lion King or something. Yeah, you got to line up for that shit. But, like, when I went and saw the original Batman with Michael Keaton, I went the day that it came out, and I had to wait in line. But, like, you know, you'll be waiting in line somewhere, and some pack of black guys will just come up, and they'll cut right in front of you in line and just look at you like, well, yeah, what's up, motherfucker? You ain't going to say shit. And if you're like, hey, get the fuck out of this line and get to the back of the line. But yeah, what you gonna do about it, crack? Oh, I ain't got to listen to you, crack. Or I go what part of the line I want. Or like normal, they'll just make up some monkey lines. Like, oh, no, my homie here was holding this spot for us. Now, you know, you're lying, nigger. Get the fuck out. And boy, it's like, ooh, and it's on then. And whatever happens, you are very unlikely to be the winner because nobody's willing to stand up for you. And all the people who agree with you are going to stand there and be quiet. We need more Nancy Goodmans out there. Absolutely. Here's what Anglin said about it. He said, this is in Raleigh, North Carolina. Nancy directly and accurately called Shonda Stewart and Lakeisha Shaw niggers at the Bonefish Grill after those stupid niggers wouldn't shut up. And she doesn't care. I'm not going to tell you all to go out and call niggers niggers. But what I will tell you is that if you all did that, and then when the media came and told you to apologize, you all said, no, they are niggers, and I would say it again. Then the whole racism fiasco hoax would just end immediately. Nancy Goodman is obviously a reasonable person. Anyone can see that. Her issue is that she is simply fed up with loud niggers interrupting her evening, and she has nothing to apologize for. If everyone simply said, no, I don't hate anyone's skin color, but I'm just really tired of these loud niggers making all this noise and causing all of these public problems, and no, I'm not sorry for being tired of that, then the whole issue would just solve itself. The niggers themselves would just be like, oh, so they be all like that, huh? I guess that how it be then, huh? And then they would shuffle off, mumbling. The entire racism hoax is based on white people tolerating this hoax. If white people were just like, nigger, just shut up, and other white people were like, poof, then the whole thing would just end immediately. This is a fake crisis. Black people don't actually not understand that white people don't like them making obnoxious noise everywhere. I think that the whole thing about deporting all the blacks was not really very realistic. If we could just all say, shut up, nigger, we would pretty much have solved the problem. But he's right. Black people don't actually not understand that white people don't like this. That's one of the reasons they enjoy doing it.
They think they're slick.
And then we got this case of Erica Thomas, the black Georgia lawmaker who looks like she's about 350 pounds and has like the close crop blonde hair.
Oh, yeah.
She alleges this dude told her, yeah, to go back where you came from the Publix. And she goes on Twitter and like starts weeping.
Yeah. And it turns out that it was like he didn't tell her to go back where you came from or anything. That if he said anything, he was like, look, go back and get in the right line. Because what she was doing was, this was like a 12 items or less express lane at the Publix. And she had a big old cart loaded full of shit. And she was trying to use her nigger privilege, her pregnant nigger. She's like, I'm 9 months pregnant, motherfucker. Why would I be get to do this? You know? Like, and she made up this.
And big, she's crying.
Go
she's
ahead.
Crying now, but you know she was loud as fuck because that's how the black people do.
Oh, yeah. And she got loud as fuck later when the guy, she went to give a fucking press conference about the shit in front of the Publix and the dude showed up.
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't say anything like that. And she's like, well, you didn't call me a low down dirty motherfucker or whatever cuss word it was he used. Said, yeah, I said that, but I didn't tell you to go back anywhere.
Like, yeah.
Well, and then she had to admit, well, okay, so maybe he ain't say go back to your country or go back, whatever like that. But I mean, goddamn, it was bad.
Yeah. Called me a lazy bitch. Did you call her that? Yeah, I called her a lazy bitch. And how can you tell she's 9 months pregnant? Dude, this chick looks like she's got some sort of like allergy, you know, where her face balloons up.
But they walk around like they're the fucking nobility and whites are the fucking peasants and we need to bow down before them and forgive every trespass against them instantly. You know? It's like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Here she is with the dude walking up on her at the... let's see. Hopefully this is some
this is a story being talked about across the country. A Georgia lawmaker says a man told her to go back where she came from after a confrontation in a grocery store checkout line. The man now coming forward disputing some of those claims. The two going back and forth right in front of our cameras over the weekend with no resolve in sight. Naima Abdullahi is in the newsroom for us this morning. Naima, this all started
I want the raw shit.
Erica Thomas out of Austell posted
she got in his face so now, threateningly that he had to tell her to back off or he's calling the police.
Exactly right. Representative Thomas says her
president. I'm a lawmaker, motherfucker.
That she's not backtracking from her original comments that gained that viral video.
Now, this news station is not. They're just showing the video. They're not. Let me see if I can.
I bet you he wishes he went to an all-white grocery store right about now.
Well, he's in Atlanta. Where the fuck's he going to do that?
Yeah. He's in Atlanta? Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, poor guy. Right. Yeah, it's true.
Let me see if I can. Okay, this looks like. This looks like might be what we need.
He says, you lazy son of
a... Yeah, here she is on Twitter.
You need to go back where
crying.
You came from. And he says that, like, sir, you don't even know me. I'm not lazy. I'm 9 months pregnant.
Oh, I bet she said, sir, please, don't talk to me. Yeah, I bet that's exactly what went down. And you can tell that's exactly what went down by what happens here in a minute when they... have another confrontation.
It's a video that went viral, and tonight the hashtag I stand with Erica is trending, but there is so much more to the story. That is Representative Erica Thomas of Austell. Now, she says a man confronted her at a Publix in Mableton when she was shopping with her 9-year-old daughter. Well, today, Thomas and the man in that video returned back to that same Publix for a second round of confrontation. Elwin Lopez spoke with both of them today. She joins us live with the story. Elwin, what a wild adventure.
It certainly is, Ryan. This afternoon, I went to interview Representative Thomas at the Publix in Mapleton, where the incident took place last night. But while I was there, the man involved in that confrontation with her, Eric Sparks, was also there. He says he was there to speak to the manager, but began to tell us his version of events, and that's when a second confrontation happened.
Do you feel bad?
Me telling you to go back where you came from?
Do you feel bad about yesterday?
Did I say that?
Why are you serious? So you didn't
did
say,
I say?
What did you say to me then?
Is it on video?
What did you say to me?
I called you a lazy.
Okay, that's all you did.
That's the worst thing I said.
That's all you said to me?
Yes.
Okay, because that makes you look better because everybody's asking now. That makes you look better to say that.
I know what I said. Okay.
Eric Sparks admits he insulted
her. Oh, see, they're not showing her practically assaulting him. Publix,
Says he never said anything racist.
Man, I need to find the raw.
I will vote Democrat the rest
of my
life.
Let me see if I can find it raw.
Okay? So to call me what she wants to believe for her political purposes to make it black.
Yeah, I mean, she's like a hallowed lawmaker, right? She's a representative
she's
of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is she doing, making a spectacle of herself? I mean, I know what she's doing, but she's making a spectacle of herself, like, in front of a fucking Publix. Like, don't you have a job?
Because
you know, and she's 9 months pregnant, but she's got the energy to, like, get up in this dude's face and, like, chest bump him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he had to tell her, back off, or I'm going to call the police. She's like, the police done talk to you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said, yep, and they didn't arrest me either. You know, it's just this whole thing. But like I say, YouTube, it's damn near impossible to find what I'm looking for on here. But then she gave, you know, she got separate from him. One of the funny things was, You think you gonna get up here and this be like yo 10 minutes of fame? This ain't your 10 minutes of fame. This is my 10 minutes. But
that's true, right? She was fighting over the fucking camera attention.
Oh yeah, bigly.
And the news is sitting there just laughing, getting paid, recording the whole thing. Yeah. You know, like it's a game. Like it's some kind of fucked up game.
Oh, this is the important news. I mean, Atlanta. Is just a burning shit pile of crime and corruption and dysfunction, and this is what they're interested in, is some fucking guy, you know, got a case of terminal Negro fatigue and is like, look, get the fuck in the line you're supposed to be in, you lazy bitch. And he's like, woo! He called me! Woo! Woo! You know, let's get out here and do fucking. I mean, it didn't work out the way that she or the media expected. But, you know, they're gonna keep on after this shit until, you know, it runs out. And of course, it runs out when all of a sudden everybody starts siding against the offended jigaboo.
Yeah.
Oh. My God.
It's exhausting.
This fucking place, man.
Oh, man. Well.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, what a time. What a time. Yeah, whoever the bastard was who said, may you live in interesting times, you know, fuck that guy. But seriously, I guess this is about as good a time as any to bring the episode 81 of the Crypto Report to a close. We're about 2 hours and 10 minutes into this thing. And so I guess we'll do the plugs. What do you guys say?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Plug that shit.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do the plugs, yeah.
Plug it in.
Yeah.
My neighbor's asking me to fix her pressurized water. What the fuck do you call it? The water, some kind of fucking gas powered appliance. So,
oh, a pressure washer.
Yeah, I knew there was some word for it.
Yeah. Well,
see, that's what white communities are like. You know, you need something done, you can't do it. It's like, I'll just ask my neighbor. He's a nice white man.
Hmm, yeah.
Ain't gonna be no chipping out, man.
Yeah, is she single?
Oh, she's an old lady, that's why I'm
home. Oh, okay, that's different. When they're single, it usually means they want the D.
Yeah, pressure washing with my dick. No,
they talk to you.
I told my dad one time, is when I was like 22 or 23, and this young broad that I barely knew, and I was working my ass off all day every day, and I got home and she was on the answering machine like, "Hey, I hate to bother you, but you seem like you're good with your hands and everything. Could you come over here and my shower head doesn't work, and maybe you could fix it for me?" And my dad called right after I checked my message. He's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I don't know. It's fucking, these goddamn women, they're so presumptive. Just barely know her, and she's calling me up talking about come over here and fix her shower head." And he's like, "Yeah, she wants you to fix her shower head, all right. That girl wants to give you some pussy. You get your tools and get the fuck over there." And I was like, "Okay." And I took a shower, got my tools, and went over there. And I'll be damned if he wasn't right. Dad's almost always right.
Yeah. Father knows best, man.
Absolutely. That was great advice he gave me. But anyway, so if you're a young white man of good character and you're interested in doing your part in these culture wars of which we speak on the Crypto Report, then you should seriously consider applying for membership in Stormer Book Club. For more information, email stormerbookclubs@airmail.cc. That's plural, stormerbookclubs@airmail.cc. If you enjoy this content, and how the hell could you not, and you want to support this content, there are three ways to do it. You can go down there and click on that merch link and go get you some excellent TKR merch, get your mugs, get your shot glasses, get your t-shirts, your posters, your thermal carafes, your what else? Your coffee mugs, whatever. Your travel mugs. We got all of it for you over there. It's all top-notch, handmade quality shit. And there are two options for donating via cryptocurrency, is Bitcoin and Monero. But if you can afford to, please do. But of course, if you're on a limited income or no income or whatever the case may be, we're happy to provide the Crypto Report to you free of charge. Because, as we have been saying for many weeks now, our motto at the Crypto Report is no paywalls or bad intentions. Please share the Crypto Report around on all your favorite social media and BBSs, forums, what have you there. You know, post it in the Breitbart comments sections, whatever. Get the word out there. I think this show would be a really good one to get in front of normies. You know what I mean, guys?
Definitely.
You know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll give them permission to express these things that they know and feel, but, you know, didn't feel like anyone else was going to listen to them.
Yeah, well, it's always a very liberating thing when somebody who is obviously not Hollywood's depiction of the inbred, toothless, on the porch from Deliverance racist,
right,
tells them, "Look, I'm sick of these niggers too." It's always very liberating.
They're not alone.
Yeah. Well, not only are they not alone, it's like everybody feels this way. Yeah. You know, they really do. But anyhow, so you got that. If you want to get in touch with the Crypto Report, you can email us at tkr@airmail.cc. And then here is the most important thing by far. Get down there in that description, and there is a link to our DLive, which is dlive.tv/Asmodor. Get over there, sign up for DLive, and subscribe to that channel, because that's where the live streams, the White Wednesday and the Friday Night Special, are going to be from now on. And as always, White Wednesday happens every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific, and the Friday Night Special happens an hour later every Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific, and the streams are going to be better than ever before. They're going to be like streams that have just boofed Ritalin, compared to the old ones. Because DLive, I think, is just a way better platform. It's already proven itself technically to be a way better platform just from a little test I did yesterday. So, you know, check us out. It's all going to be good. It's all going to be great. It's going to be our new live streaming platform. Am I forgetting anything, guys?
Sounds like you got it all.
I got it all. That's, you know, that's one of White Tuber's jobs, is to make sure I did all the plugs. Oh, and maybe White Wednesday. I mean, not White Wednesday. Maybe White Talk again sometime soon, too. But I guess that'll have to be over on DLive. You got a DLive over there, White Tuber?
Yeah. I got one up.
Well, what's the URL? Working with it. What's, say it for him.
I don't know. Mr.
White Tuber, the consummate promoter.
He's humble, man. Yeah, he doesn't have this stuff all set.
Nah, not at all. I created an account, though. I streamed the other day. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I played some videos.
Yeah, you played Grand Theft Auto. Right.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah.
Did you play as Franklin?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Shit, dog. Police.
It's definitely good times. You guys got to get your shit together. We'll play together one
day. Okay, you got that URL yet?
Let's see.
And while he's looking for that, remember, dlive.tv/Asmodor. Go over there and sign up and all that. It don't cost nothing. You don't have to give them your phone number or any of that crap. So how's that URL looking there, White Tuber? I think White Tuber's having URL performance anxiety. He can't get that URL up.
You were saying earlier DLive is a better service too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. On the technical end, it's so much better. Like, one of the things that upset me bad, every time I do the streams, I like to start the stream with, you know, a piece of something topical and then a bit of music to set the tone for the stream and everything. And the compression on the YouTube live streams was so awful that, like, you know, I so wish that everybody listening to the streams could hear what I heard in my headphones, because, of course, I was getting the feed directly from my computer through my mixer, but they're getting what's coming through the tubes, and it was horrible. I mean, it would just come in and out, and sound terrible. Well, it ain't like that on DLive. That shit sounds good. YTuber, you got a URL for us?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to have to go ahead and end the show without giving YTuber's URL. Thanks, everybody, for coming and listening. We'll be back Wednesday on the DLive.